Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Anyone who spends any time studying how government works will know the word bills. Bills are the grease that lubricate the lawmaking process, and sometimes those bills can be a real challenge to introduce and, more to the point, pass. No one knows this better than Kevin James, the Associate Director for Public Affairs and Religious Liberty for the Southern Union of Seventh-day Adventists. He's talking to us from his office in Norcross, Georgia. Kevin, now what are we talking about here? A bill is what? What is the other end of a bill when it's introduced?
Well, the bill is simply a piece of potential legislation that legislators are trying to get passed for various reasons. There's all sorts of different kind of bills out there, actually, but usually for protections or something to do with appropriations of money, those kind of things. You even have bills that deal with curriculum in schools here at the state level. And so they're come in all sorts of varieties, but mostly in threat of protection. And of course, this year, especially after the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on the same-sex marriage that happened last June, there's been a lot of so-called religious liberty protection acts or bills, or they come in various forms, but usually it's like religious liberty protections.
Okay. So we're talking about liberty bills today. Which one was it that didn't make it in Georgia but made it in Mississippi?
It was Georgia Bill 757 this year that caused quite a stir. And some of the media attention, I don't think, was exactly fair because there's a lot that was going on in that bill that really wasn't brought out in the sound bites. You know how media is today with the sound bites, so it doesn't get very detailed, you might say, as far as what was going on. But Georgia 757 was a bill that originally started as a protection for ministers and for faith-based institutions like churches and church schools and those kind of things, that they wouldn't have to solemnize weddings that would be against their convictions. Mm-hmm. That's how the bill started. Mm-hmm. And really, what was interesting about the bill, in a sense, is that really those things are already protected. Federal law and other laws have been very strong on allowing a lot of autonomy for religious institutions. It's called a ministerial exemption. And government is very, very leery in trying to tell churches how to run their business. Yeah. And even in hiring and firing practices, but they definitely don't want to get into what they believe or don't believe or what they should be able to talk about. So in a sense, that bill was, I call those overkill bills. We had several of those in the eight states that I monitor every year.
So in other words, if a gay person or gay couple or a lesbian couple came to a, say, a Seventh-day Adventist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian minister, he would not be compelled to hold that ceremony if he chose not to?
That's correct. Okay. It probably would never stand up in court if somebody tried to do that. I know there's fears, and there's probably, I mean, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility completely, that there may be some instances where that might be tried to be done, but with the ministerial exemption, it's pretty strong already. But yet, you know, states are worried. Of course, things can change. And so they were trying to pass that bill first. But along the way, as sometimes it happens with bills, you have bills, for example, that are very, very kind of parallel with the ideas of the bill. In this case, we in Georgia, that's what happened. And so they folded about five other bills into the Georgia 757 bill. There was three bills that were called RFRA bills, Religious Freedom Restoration Acts. And then there was two bills. One, and specifically, was very specific that sole proprietors of businesses would be protected. They were to refuse any sales and services to a wedding arrangement that they had religious convictions over. Mm-hmm. Another bill was called the First Amendment Defense Bill. And boy, that thing was very broad in its statement about anybody could have not had to do anything depending on how they felt about their religious convictions. Anyway, all those bills were folded into this bill. And to give you a little bit of background, though, the RFRA has a long history in the Georgia bill. Well, the last couple, three sessions, I would say, RFRA is a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And those bills are really excellent bills, although they've been kind of getting hit with some bad publicity ever since I don't know if you remember Arizona here a couple of years ago, when they were going to try to expand the bill. After the incident that happened in New Mexico with the photographers that refused to photograph a same-sex ceremony went national and they had lost the case there, legislators in Arizona wanted to beef up the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was passed several years ago. And there was a lot of hoopla, if you remember, about that, businesses not wanting to go to the state. Anyway, the governor ended up vetoing that. And since then, RFRAs have been really having problems. But a RFRA is a good bill. It was always, it's simply to reinstate a least restrictive means when religious faith comes into cross purposes, you might say, with a government compelling interest that they want to act upon. They're supposed to find the least restrictive means. And so it's actually a good bill in that sense, but it's also been tried to be hijacked now and used in different ways that have made them not look so good. And with Georgia, their Religious Freedom Restoration Act was always one that had some extra things attached to it. Mm-hmm. One I can remember in particular was parental protections, parental right protections, which was basically saying that if parents were raising their kids in certain ways and they had religious beliefs about that, government couldn't interfere in any way, shape, or form. Of course, there was a lot of objection to that over the years, and so the RFRA has never had a very good history. And when they lumped all this into this one bill in 757, all that acrimony from the past got into this setting as well.
So you're saying that that bill 757 did not pass in Georgia, but in Mississippi, was it very much the same kind of bill that was passed?
It's a little bit different. Just to kind of go back to Georgia for a moment, what's interesting with it, it had a very good RFRA amendment, a RFRA bill put inside the bill, but it was what we would call a clean RFRA. It was an excellent bill, but because it was couched inside of the other protections for the ministers and whatnot, there was no protections for businesses, interesting, with the Georgia Act.
Okay.
They cleaned all that out. There was no protection for business owners. It was only religious organizations, clergy, and then they had the RFRA. But people felt that the way it was put together, there would be, you know, loopholes that people could use. So that was very interesting in that. But it ended up being vetoed by the governor. But the other bill in Mississippi is another really interesting bill. This one even went farther than the Georgia bill, and it passed. This one is Mississippi House Bill 1523. The governor did sign this into law. You know, in a lot of ways, it's a problematic bill because I believe we need to protect religious freedom, but how we protect religious freedom is just as important as why we do it. And so if we do it in ways that are going to, you know, wreck anti-discrimination law and things like that, we really have to be careful with what we do in claiming religious freedom. And this particular bill is very interesting because it's very clear what the protections are. It's very detailed. It's got a laundry list of things. But there's three beliefs that are protected specifically in this, what they call the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discriminatory Acts. That's what the what the actual bill was called. And there was three beliefs that were specifically brought out as to what were protected, and that was if a person had a belief that marriage was just between one man and one woman, but it goes even farther than that. If you had a belief that sexual relations were only within marriage, so that even broadens the scope of why people could not provide services. And the other one was that male and females referred to individual biological sex that they were born with. Of course, that's trying to cover the whole issue that we hear about recently about transgenders using the restrooms of their identification to their gender.
Right. Right.
And so those three are being protected specifically. So those are the three beliefs. And out of that, here's what's covered. I'll give you an idea of what's going on. Not only do you have the religious organizations and pastors being covered, which pretty much already covered anyway, you've got adoption agencies, foster parents, medical sex reassignment type of issues that might come up, Private businesses are covered, from photography to limousines to car rental, believe it or not. Jewelry stores are covered in this. Sex-specific standards that might be in schools or businesses where there was dress and grooming issues, which, of course, deals with transgender mostly. Right. Spas, baths, showers, dressing rooms, those kind of things. They had a right to maintain their standard, their religious standard in that. And also it protects employees' expression and their conduct, interestingly enough, in and out of the workforce. And then it also covered the clerks, which is the same as the Kim Davis issue, anybody issuing license. So it's a real laundry list on this one, and it's really kind of messy, to say the least.
Well, why would Mississippi be open to that and Georgia not? What's the difference between those two states? They're, I mean, they're neighbors, for goodness sakes.
That's a good question. As I look at it, I think the real issue is that there's business interests in Georgia that are very big. You know, Atlanta has some of the most powerful business headquarters located here. I mean, large businesses like Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Home Depot, these kind of very huge businesses. And I think that really had a lot to play in it, because businesses, quite frankly, were engaged very early on in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act's attempts that had been going on a few years earlier. One of the other concerns was not only just the protection of the parental rights thing, but the real concern about the RFRAs in this state was they were feeling that RFRA was going to be used to discriminate against people of different sexual orientations and transgender. That's where it became. And businesses, and also businesses didn't want to be found. It felt like it was going to give religion too much of a sway within business operations. And so it became very important. So that's the history behind that. You've got these huge businesses that actually Mississippi doesn't have that many.
Right.
And Mississippi also, in comparison to Georgia, Mississippi also seems to carry a more conservative mindset. And the particular governor at this time, too, also has been very, I understand, supportive of these kind of conservative issues.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing us up to date on those two important bills in Georgia and Mississippi. This is an ongoing story, of course, and we'll have you back to talk about these kinds of bills as they move through other states. Kevin James is the Associate Director for Public Affairs and Religious Liberty for the Southern Union of Seventh-day Adventists. He's just talked to us from Norcross, Georgia. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
And listener, our website, libertymagazine.org. If you'd like to leave a comment or listen to this program again or read our editor's Lincoln Steed's blogs, it's all there at libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Kevin James inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.